join in the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes. With Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from here.
Jimmy, Pete, what's happening? What's happening? What's that horrible thing doing to you?
It's not doing anything to me, Bentley. I'm doing it to it. This is what's called a euphonium or tuba.
But what was that terrible row?
Well, you've heard that before, Bentley. It's drinking.
Does it always make that noise when he drinks?
Bentley, you're trying to make funny remarks. No. I'm practicing a serenade. It's the next move in my campaign to win the heart of June Whitfield. As Shakespeare said, if music be the food of love, it's quicker by tuba.
But you can't serenade June. She lives in a block of flats in Kensington. You know what they're like in Kensington. If you're fountain pen scratchers, they have you up for disturbing the peace.
Well, it'll be a very brief serenade, Bentley, and then I'll put the euphonium away. Just oompa, oompa, then place it in my pullover.
It'll never work, Jim. Nobody could possibly get romantic with a euphonium. Not even a female euphonium.
Oh, Bentley, don't be soft. There's no such thing as a female euphonium.
Oh, no? Then where do bugles come from?
The point is, Bentley... I can't answer that.
No.
The point is, Bentley, that this instrument is ideal for serenading underneath a balcony. You see, it's one of the only instruments whose spouts point directly upwards. I'm sure it'll work, though.
Yes, I hope so. Well, we can easily see. Now, June's dressing room's on the floor above.
Yeah.
You play a little bit, and I'll hang out the window and see what happens.
Now, be careful. Right. Ready? Yeah. Righto. Ready?
Now, ready? Now, off you go, nice and loud, and I'll tell you if anything happens. That's it. Play that note again.
I'm running out of blow.
Once more, I think that'll do it. Hey, you've done it. It must be the first time anybody's done that with a euphonium. Oh, congratulations.
What happened, Bentley? What happened?
They've opened Tower Bridge.
As I walked along in the country one day, at my feet there fluttered a note. I opened it up, and to my great surprise, I read these strange words someone wrote. If anyone finds this, I love you, I love you, I love you. If anyone finds this, I love you, honest and truly I do. Now I smiled at the note, then I tossed it aside, but it haunted me day and night. Until I just had to retrace every step in hopes I might learn who would write. If anyone finds this, I love you, oh, I love you, I love you. If anyone finds this, I love you, honest and truly I do. Nearby was a house with a sign on the door, and their home for orphans I read. A small face looked down from a window at me, and somehow I knew who had said, if anyone finds this, I love you, I love you, I love you. If anyone finds this, I love you, honest and truly, yes, really and truly, honest and truly I do.
What, Jim?
Well, it's excessively wealthy, what?
Yeah.
I suppose with all your money, Wall, you must give a lot of posh dinner parties.
Oh, no, no. As a guest enter my hall, they're announced by my butler, Rabinowitz.
Then your wife receives them formally.
As to the manner born, she extends a bejeweled hand with a gracious word of greeting. Like, swine of an evening, innit, love? Or, what have you done to your hair?
How gracious can you get?
Exactly. Then they go into the blue room for cocktails and dainties. You know, crisp cheese straws, biscuits smeared with pâté de faux pas, and then them little olives fitted with rear lights.
I didn't know your wife was a gourmet.
She wasn't, she was a Perkin.
Definitely the hostess with the leastest on the ball.
And it's very kind of you to say so.
Not at all.
Now, why didn't you come last night and join us?
Well, we couldn't, Wal, because we were at the other Ideal Home exhibition, weren't we, Dunners?
Oh, yes, sir, the Ideal Home exhibition at Olympia. Well, sir, wandering round the exhibition, feeling more and more dissatisfied with our own crummy abode, we stopped at the kitchen section. And while gawping enviously at the gleaming, streamlined equipment, our sense of proportion was only restored by the attitude of a middle-aged couple nearby.
This'll be it. This'll be the clinic. Excuse me, Doctor. Could you bathe me wife's feet in a spot of boracic?
Clinic, sir? Oh, bless you, sir. This isn't a clinic. This is the Lady Fair's stainless dream kitchen. Do let me show you what we're aiming at.
A kitchen? This is a kitchen? But it's all white. Kitchens are brown.
Aye. Everybody knows that. Kitchens are brown, front rooms are beige, and landings are buff. It's only bathrooms as are white.
Look, let me show you round the dream kitchen. You'll see that all the working surfaces and the kitchen table are in heat-resisting thermalized plastic.
Oh, dear.
You put your plates straight onto the table.
No tablecloth.
Pigs. That's what some people live like, pigs. No tablecloth. You wouldn't believe it unless you saw it.
And this...
upset him, you know, I can see that.
This is the very latest gas cooker.
Oh, dear.
You'll see that the griller is at eye level.
The griller at eye level? Oh, it's unnatural.
Oh, but don't you see? It saves the housewife having to stoop to grill the toast.
Oh,
I'm sure you'll agree, sir. No man likes to come into the kitchen to find his wife bending low over the cooker.
And who says they don't? Here, leave the working man a few pleasures, chum.
Well, what's that, then, above the gas stove up there? Yon chimney jutting out?
That's the cooking odour extractor.
Oh, long words, eh?
Yes, oh, yes. Sucks all the smell of cooking right away from the kitchen.
Right away.
No smell of cooking? Well, that's a daft idea. When I've got a bit of meat roasting, my hubby likes nothing better than to sit sniffing at it.
Aye, I don't enjoy a meal unless I've had a good hour's dribble beforehand. Now, look here, son. If you've got nothing better than this to show us, will you please direct us to Section 35, the enchanted lily pond of the Gardens of Tranquility?
Well, at least you're a garden lover, then.
No, but it is somewhere for Alice to soak her feet.
Tithe's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary folk facing up to the challenge of life. Today their talking point is, if 'tis human to err, what is it to him? Over to the Glums.
Oh, Ron, whatever the outcome, I shall stick by you. I don't care what the world says. Just because a boy makes one mistake, does that mean he's a criminal?
No, eh?
But why did you do it, Ron? Whatever made you ride your bicycle over a policeman's foot? Surely you must have seen the policeman's foot looming up ahead?
No, eh? I was looking in a shop window. They were changing the frock on one of the dummies. Before I realised it, my bicycle was on his foot.
What did you do?
I said, I'm sorry. I said it was just an accident, and I told him how I'd only gone out to get a cut loaf.
Mm.
And I explained that we needed the cut loaf as you were coming, and I described who you were. Mm. Then I gave him the details about us being engaged, and I told him how difficult difficulty we're having to get a house.
Oh. Well, what did he say?
He said, your bike is still on my foot. Then he charged me for riding a bicycle over his foot without a rear light.
Oh, you didn't have a rear light either? Oh, Ron, this means serious criminal proceedings. Oh, I don't know what your dad'll say when he comes in.
I do, Eth. He'll say, hello, hello, hello.
No, Ron, he'll be livid. But I'll stand by you, Ron. I'd stand by you whatever you committed. I wouldn't even mind if you pinched something.
Right, are we? Yes.
No, Ron, I didn't mean
well,
that.
Well,
no, I don't mean.
Well, I thought.
Will!
Yes.
Hello. Hello, 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 hello. Now, what's my nipper up to? I shall leave you to it, Ron. Would you just be so good as to hand me that last slice of bread pudding? The kitchen door needs wedging open.
Oh, Mr. Glum, prepare yourself for a terrible shock.
You haven't eaten it, have you?
Mr. Glum, Ron's in trouble with the police.
No.
Yes?
No. Mm. Oh, how could he do that to me? Don't tell me that. Just got over the shock of Mrs. Glum's bad leg and Ron not emigrating to Australia. And now this. Ah, much more grief is to be heaped over my grey hairs. My cup of sorrow's run over.
Now it's the policeman's foot that's run over.
My baby boy, a criminal. How could you, Ron? I should wash my hands of you, that's what I ought to do. I ought to cut you off with a shilling. I would if I could master that new gas meter.
But, Mr. Keane,
let me alone in me misery. The shame, the ignominy. Never has the name of Glum been dragged through a court of law.
What about Uncle Charlie?
Bigger me don't can't. He wasn't a criminal. He was just naturally affectionate. All nine of them want him back.
Oh, Mr. Glum, Ron's case comes up next week. Oh. What are we going to do?
Well, you've got me all in a dither, as they say. Well, I suppose I just can't desert my son. To start with, we'll get him a good lawyer. Ooh, though. Ooh, as the saying goes. Wait a moment, though. Your mum's got a cousin who's a lawyer. The only one of her lot with any real brains.
Would he take my case, Dad?
Well, if he does, Ron, there'll be no finagling. With his reputation, he wouldn't touch nothing dodgy. Here, I'll see if your mum knows when we can get an appointment with him. Mother! Now listen carefully, you old fleabag! You know your cousin Arnold, what got in with that big firm of lawyers and then went into practice on his own? When's the best time to see him? Oh, lummy, that makes it a bit awkward.
When can we see him, Mr. Glum?
First Thursday of every month or Christmas.
Oh, the days of the Kerry dancing. Oh, the ring of the pipers too. Oh, a while ago, those hours of gladness gone, alas, like a youth to see.
chorus tuning
made us long with wild delight. Oh, to think of it, oh, to dream of it fills my heart with tears. Oh, the days of the Carey dancing, oh, the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those hours of gladness gone, alas, like a youth too soon.
Loving voices of old companions stealing out of the past once more. And the sound of the dear old music, soft and sweet as in days of yore.
When the boys began to gather in the glen of a summer night,
and the Carey piper's tuning made us long with wild delight.
Oh, to think of it, oh, to dream of it,
fills my heart with tears.
Oh, the days of the Carey dancing, oh, the ring of the piper's tune. Oh, for one of those hours of gladness gone, alas, like a youth too soon.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please. I say, Bentley, did I see you crouching under the drawing-room table just now?
Yes, Your Grace, it was Jimmy's idea. He told me I ought to read Jekyll and Hyde. If anyone sees this, I love you.
You think I should read it, Edward? Is it thought-provoking?
No, Your Grace, it's dead clean. Oh. You see, give you the plot in a rapid nutshell. You see, there's this Dr. Jekyll who's been experimenting to find a certain drug. Good. One night, he's in his laboratory, don't keep interrupting, with Miss Chaffinch, his assistant, and the atmosphere is very tense. Ooh. You can tell that from the music. Listen.
This is the formula, Miss Chaffinch. A formula which took 7 years of patient research to discover. The result is the liquid in this beaker.
Oh, it frightens me, Dr. Jekyll.
See how it hisses and bubbles. It contains CO2, H2SO4, P2H, and Fred.
Fred?
I warned him not to lean over the vat. Give me the beaker.
Oh, don't drink it, Dr. Jekyll. Why must we continue with this unnatural experiment? Why can't we both just go home?
Not till I have proved my theory. My theory that every human being is really two people. You are two people, Miss Chaffinch. I am two people.
Then why can't the four of us go home?
Because if I'm right, this drink will liberate the other, me. One sip, and before you can say Robert Louis Stevenson, I will change. Oh. Now to the tusk. I take the sip and...
Oh, Dr. Jekyll, what is happening to you? Your whole appearance is changing. Your body is thickening. Your face is getting red. Matted hair is sprouting from your upper lip. Oh, Dr. Jekyll, for pity's sake, speak.
Hello, hello, hello. It's worked. That stuff I drank, it's turned me gym side out.
Oh, no. No, no, look in the mirror. What have you done? Look at your face.
Show me. Oh, well,
there's an improvement for a start.
But you don't look like Dr. Jekyll anymore. You look evil.
I am. I'm dead evil. That's the whole point. I'm Jekyll with all the goodness taken out. Oh, I'm a proper little shocker now.
To Jekyll.
Not Jekyll anymore. Now my personality has changed. My name shall be likewise.
Then Dr. Likewise.
No, no. No, my name's Hyde. Huh? And now that Dr. Jekyll has become Mr. Hyde, I have the chance to do all the dark, despicable deeds that I've always dreamt of doing. I shall buy a cardboard drink in a cinema and blow down the straw. Yes. And when? When it's television time, I shall take all the suppressors off a lorry and belt it round the suburbs.
You fiend!
Oh, the evil that I'm going to get up to. You know, in the post office, there's a box of telegram forms marked take one.
Yes.
I shall take two. There'll be no holding me. I shall discuss topics the week before they're debated in Parliament. I might even run down the up escalator.
Oh, how low can you sink?
Depends how fast I run. And as for you, dear Miss Chaffinch, shove over and let Hyde bark.
No, please, don't come near me, I implore you. Oh, bring back the Dr. Jekyll side of yourself.
Never! Oh. Never! From now on, there'll be nothing but Mr. Hyde. It's a bit rough on poor old Bentley. But he had more than me in the glums. Come here, my dear, and let me...
Oh, no!
What's happening to me?
You're changing back. Your moustache is receding. Oh, all the wrinkles are reappearing. Oh, the drug has worn off.
What happened to me? I drank the potion. My head spun round. I heard strange music. And then nothing. Nothing. For nearly 2 pages.
Oh, Dr. Jekyll, you're your dear kind self again. But you must destroy that formula. From the moment you drank it, the base side of you came uppermost. You looked horrible.
Well, nobody looks good base side uppermost.
It wasn't only what you looked like. Do you know what you tried to do? You sat yourself next to me and you tried to...
Miss Chaffinch, I didn't.
No, but you tried to. Your lips were but a moustache breadth from mine, a mere 9 inches away.
Merciful heavens, what evil forces have I here unleashed? You were right. I've been meddling with something that no man in his right senses would touch with a barge pole.
Oh, well, really, I
didn't mean you, Miss Chaffinch. No, I meant the formula. Yes, it must be destroyed. From now on, I'll keep my good side outside and my hide side inside. Don't worry. Never again shall I turn it... What's happening to me?
You're already on the turn. Oh, dear. The drug is working by itself.
And for my first encore...
Mr. Hay!
Yes, it's me. Oh. And about time, too. And now that I'm here, Miss Chaffinch, we shall resume our hanky-panky where we...
You're changing back.
What? No, it's not fair. No, I've only had 2 lines. Get a doctor. Get my agent.
I blacked out again.
Oh, Dr. Jekyll, thank heavens you're back.
I see what's happening. It's a struggle between the two personalities. The most powerful one will...
Oh, no. Yes. Made it.
Oh, you again?
Yes, and this time I'm going to stay if it means strangling the whole violin section.
But you... You are the evil side.
Yes, and a fat chance I've had to be evil. No sooner do I get cracking on a bit of debauchery, and what happens? They start up Holiday for Strings, and it's back to old putty face.
But Dr. Jekyll cannot stay as the horrible Mr. Hyde forever. I have a pistol here. Goodbye, Mr. Hyde.
Oh, of all the rotten tricks. Shot me right in the... Not again.
You're stuck halfway.
Oh, that's clever, isn't it? I say, that's clever. Look what you've done now.
For heaven's sake, Hyde, move over and let me in.
Ah, Dr. Jekyll, I presume. How dare you come in when I'm only half changed?
But it's my body as well as yours.
Well, you can take the horrible thing back, then.
I don't want it back now. It's got a hole in it.
But you can't. You can't both stay jammed halfway. Or what can we do?
Get a plumber.
No. One more dose of the formula will make it one or the other. Oh. There is just one dose left in the beaker.
Oh, yes. Is this it, Doctor? Or is this your malted milk? Oh,
well, sip it and see.
Oh, all right. Oh, dear, I think it's the... Oh. She's
changing.
Her figure, her face, her hair. She's becoming somebody else completely.
Oh, Miss Chaffinch.
Oh, no.
Harriet Abinowitz and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, and the keynotes. The announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote a script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...